Leaves of grass. Sauntering the pavement or riding the country by road, here then are faces. Faces of friendship, precision, caution, suavity, ideality. The spiritual prescient face, the always welcome, common, benevolent face. The face of the singing of music, the grand faces of natural lawyers and judges brought at the backtop. The faces of hunters and fishers bulged at the brows. The shaved, blanched faces of orthodox citizens. The pure, extravagant, yearning, questioning artist's face, the welcoming, ugly face of some beautiful soul, the handsome, detested, or despised face, the sacred faces of infants, the illuminated face of the mother of many children, the face of an amour, the face of veneration, the face as of a dream, the face of an immobile rock, the face withdrawn of its good and bad, a castrated face, a wild hawk, his wings clipped by the clipper, a stallion that yielded at least to the thongs and knife of the gelder. Sauntering the pavements or crossing the ceaseless ferry, here then are faces. I see them and complain not, and am content with all. Do you suppose I could be content with all if I thought them their own finale? This now is too lamentable a face for a man, some abject louse asking leave to be, cringing for it, some milk-nosed maggot blessing what lets it rig to its hole. This face is a dog's snout sniffing for garbage, snake's nest in that mouth. I hear the sibilant threat. This face is a haze more chill than the Arctic sea, its sleepy and wobbling icebergs crunch as they go. This is the face of bitter herbs. This is an emetic. They need no label. And more of the drug shelf, laudanum, caoutchouc, or hog's lard. This face is an epilepsy, advertising and doing business. In wordless tongue, gives out the unearthly cry. Its veins down the neck distend. Its eyes roll toward till they show nothing but their whites. Its teeth grit, the palms of the hands are cut by turned-in nails. The man falls struggling and foaming to the ground while he speculates well. This face is bitten by vermin and worms, and this is some murderer's knife in a half-pulled scabbard. This face owes to the sexton his dismalest fee. An unceasing death bell tolls there. These are really men, the bosses and tufts of the great round globe. Features of my equals, would you trick me with your creased and cadaverous march? Well, then you cannot trick me. I see your rounded, never erased flow. I see neath the rims of your haggard and mean disguises, splay and twist as you like, poke with the tangling fours of fishes or rats. You'll be unmuzzled, you certainly will. I saw the face of the most smeared and slobbering idiot they had at the asylum, and I knew for my consolation what they knew not. I knew of the agents and emptied and broke my brother the same weight to clear the rubbish from the fallen tenement, and I shall look again in a score or two of ages, and I shall meet the real landlord perfect and unharmed, every inch as good as myself. The Lord advances and yet advances. Always the shadow in front, always the reached hand bringing up the laggards. Out of the face emerges banners and horses. Oh, superb, I see what is coming. I see the high pioneer caps. I see the staves of runners clearing the way. I hear victorious drums. This face is a lifeboat. This is the face commanding and bearded. It asks no odds of the rest. This face is flavored fruit ready for eating. This face of a healthy, honest boy is the program of all good. These faces bear testimony, slumbering or awake. They know their descent from the master himself. Off the word I have spoken, I accept not one, red, white, or black. All are deific. In each house is the ovum. It comes forth after 1,000 years. Spots or cracks at the windows do not disturb me. Tall and sufficient, stand behind and make no signs to me. I read the promise and patiently wait. This is a full-grown lily's face. She speaks to the limber-hipped man near the garden pickets. Come here, she blushingly cries. Come nigh to me, limber-hipped man, and give me your finger and thumb. Stand at my side till I lean as high as I can upon you. For me with albescent honey, bend down to me, rub to me with your chafing beard. rubbed to my breast and shoulders, the old face of the mother of many children. Whist, I am fully content. Lulled and late is the smoke of the Sabbath morning. It hangs low over the rows of trees by the fences. It hangs thin by the sassafras, the wild cherry, and the catbriar under them. I saw the rich ladies in full dress at the soiree. I hear what the run of poets were saying so long. Heard who sprang in crimson youth from the white froth and the water blue. Behold a woman. She looks out from her Quaker cap. Her face is clearer and more beautiful than the sky. She sits in an armchair under the shaded porch of the farmhouse. The sun just shines on her old white head. Her ample gown is of cream-hued linen. Her grandsons raised the flax, and her granddaughters spun it with the distaff and the wheel. The melodious character of the earth, the finish beyond which philosophy cannot go and does not wish to go, the justified mother of men. A young man came to me with a message from his brother. How should the young man know the weather and when of his brother? Tell him to send me the signs. And I stood there, I stood before the young man face to face and took his right hand in my left hand and his left hand in my right hand. And I answered for his brother and for men, and I answered for the poet and sent these signs. Him all wait for, him all yield up to. His word is decisive and final. Him they accept, in him lave, in him perceive themselves as a midlight. Him they immense, and he... Him they immerse, and he immerses them. Beautiful women and haughtiest nations, laws and landscape, people and animals, the profound earth and its attributes, and the unquiet ocean, all enjoyments and properties, and money, and whatever money will buy, the best farms, others toiling and planting, and he unavoidably reaps, the noblest and costliest cities, others grading and building, and he domiciles there. Nothing for anyone, but what is for him, neat and far are for him, the ships in the offing, the perpetual shows and marches on land are for him, if they are not for anybody. He puts things in their attitudes. He puts today out of himself with plasticity and love. He places his own city, times, reminiscences, parents, brothers, and sisters, associations, employment, and politics, so that the rest never shame him them afterward, nor assume to command them. He is the answer. What can be answered, he answers, and what cannot be answered, he shows how it cannot be answered. A man is a summons and challenge. It is vain to skulk. Do you hear that mocking and laughter? Do you hear the ironical echoes? Books, friendships, philosophers, priests, action, pleasure, pride, beat up and down, seeking to give satisfaction. He indicates the satisfaction and indicates them that beat up and down also. Whichever the sex, whatever the season or place, he may go freshly and gently and safely by day or night. He has the pass key of hearts, to him the response of the praying of hands on the knobs. His welcome is universal. The flow of beauty is not more welcome or universal than he is. The person he favors by day or sleeps with at night is blessed. Every existence has its idiom. Everything has an idiom and tongue. He resolves all tongues into his own and bestows it upon men. And any man translates, and any man translates himself also. One part does not counteract another part. He is the joiner. He sees how they join. He sees indifferently and alike. How are you, friend? To the president at his levee. And he says, good day, my brother, to Kudge that hoes in the sugar field, and both understand him and know that his speech is right. He walks with perfect ease in the Capitol. He walks among the Congress, and one representative says to another, here's our equal appearing anew. Then the mechanics take him for a mechanic, and the soldiers suppose him to be a captain, and the sailors that he has followed the sea, and the authors take him for an author, and the artists for an artist, and the laborers perceive he could labor with them and love them. No matter what the work is, that he is one to follow it or has followed it. No matter what the nation, that he might find his brothers and sisters there. The English believe he comes of their English stock. A Jew to the Jew he seems, a Rus to the Rus, usual and near removed from none. Whoever he looks at in the traveler's coffee house claims him. The Italian or Frenchman is sure, and the German is sure, and the Spaniard is sure, and the island Cuban is sure. The engineer, the deckhand, on the Great Lakes or on the Mississippi or St. Lawrence or Sacramento or Hudson or Delaware claims him. The gentleman of perfect blood acknowledges his perfect blood. The insulter, the prostitute, the angry person, the beggar see themselves in the ways of him. He strangely transmutes them. They are not vile anymore. They hardly know themselves. They are so grown. You think it would be good to be writer of melodious verses. Well, it would be good to be the writer of melodious verses, but what are verses beyond the flowing character you could have, or beyond beautiful manners and behavior, or beyond one manly or affectionate deed of an apprentice boy, or old woman, or man that has been in prison or is likely to be in prison? Suddenly, out of its stale and drowsy lair, the lair of slaves, like lightning, Europe's leapt forth, half started at itself, its feet upon the ashes and the rags, its hand tight to the throats of kings. O hope and faith, O aching close of lives, O many a sickened heart, turn back unto this day and make yourselves afresh. And you, paid to defile the people, you liars, mark, not for numberless agonies, murderous lusts, for court thieving in its manifold mean forms, worming from simplicity the poor man's wages. For many a promising sworn by royal lips and broken and laughed at in the breaking, then in their power, not for all those who did blows strike of a personal revenge, or the heads of the nobles fall, the people scorn the ferocity of kings, but the sweetness of mercy brewed bitter destruction, and the frightened rulers come back. Each come in state with his train, hangman, priest, and tax gatherer, soldier, lawyer, jailer, and sycophant. Yet behold all, lo, a shape, vague as the night, draped interminably, head, front, and form in scarlet folds, whose face and eyes none may see. Out of its robes only this, and the red robes lifted by the arm, one finger pointed high over the top, like the head of a snake appears. Meanwhile corpses lie in new-made graves, bloody corpses of young men. The rope of the gibbet hangs heavily. The bullets of princes are flying. The creatures of power laugh aloud. And all these things bear fruits, and they are good. Those corpses of young men, those martyrs that hang from the gibbets, those hearts pierced by the gray lead, cold and motionless as they seem, live somewhere with unslaughtered vitality. They live in other young men, O kings. They live in brothers, again, ready to defy you. They were purified by death. They were taught and exalted. Not a grave of the murdered for freedom, but grows seed for freedom, in its turn to bear seed, which the winds carry afar and resow, and the rains and the snows nourish. But a disembodied spirit can the weapons of tyrants yet loose, but it stalks invisibly over the earth, whispering, counseling, cautioning. Liberty, let others despair of you. I never despair of you. In the house shut is the master away. Nevertheless, be ready, not by weary of catching. He will soon return. His messengers come anon. Clear the way there, Jonathan. Way for the president's marshal, way for the government cannon, way for the federal foot and dragoons, and the phantoms afterward. I rose this morning early to get betimes in Boston town. Here's a good place at the corner. I must stand and see the show. I love to look on the stars and stripes. I hope the fifes will play Yankee Doodle. How bright shine the foremost with cutlasses. Every man holds his revolver, marching stiff through Boston town. A fog follows. Antiques of the same come limping. Some appear wooden-legged and some appear bandaged and bloodless. Why, this is a show, and is called the dead out of the earth, the old graveyards of the hill have hurried to see. Uncountable phantoms gather by flank and rear of it, cocked hats of mothy mold and crutches made of mist, arms and slings and old men leaning on young men's shoulders. What troubles you, Yankee phantoms? What is all this chattering of bare gums? Does this egg convulse your limbs? Do you mistake your crutches for firelocks and level them? If you blind your eyes with tears, you will not see the president's marshal. If you groan such groans, you might balk the government cannon. For shame, old maniacs, bring down those tossed arms and let your white hair be. Here gape your smart grandsons. Their wives gaze at them from windows. See how well-dressed, see how orderly they conduct themselves. Worse and worse. Can't you stand it? Are you retreating? Is this hour with the living too dead for you? Retreat then, pell-mell. Back to the hills, old limpers. I do not think you belong here anyhow. But there is one thing that belongs here. Shall I tell you what it is, gentlemen of Boston? I will whisper it to the mayor. He shall send a committee to England. They shall get a grant from the Parliament and go with the cart to the royal vault. Dig out King George's coffin. Unwrap him quick from the grave clothes. Box up his bones for a journey. Find a swift Yankee clipper. Here is freight for you, black-bellied clipper. Up with your anchor. Shake out your sails. Steer straight toward Boston Bay. Now call the president's marshal and bring the government cannon and fetch home the roarers from Congress and make another procession and guard it with foot and dragoons. Here is a centerpiece for them. Look, all orderly citizens, look from the windows, women. The committee open the box and set up the regal ribs and glue those that will not stay and clap the skull on top of the ribs and clap a crown on top of the skull. You have got your revenge, old Buster. The crown has come to its own and more than its own. Stick your hands in your pockets, Jonathan. You are a made man from this day. You are mighty cute, and here is one of your bargains. There was a child went forth every day. In the first object he looked upon and received with wonder or pity or love or dread, that object he became. And that object became part of him for the day, or a certain part of the day, or for many years, or stretching cycles of years. The early lilacs became part of this child, and grass, and white and red morning glories, and white and red clover, and the song of the Phoebe bird, and the march-born lambs, and the sow's pink faint litter, and the mare's foal, and the cow's calf, and the noisy brood of the barnyard, or by the mire of the pondside, and the fish suspending themselves so curiously below there, and the beautiful, curious liquid, and the water plants, and the graceful flat heads all became part of him, and the field sprouts of April and May became part of him, winter grain sprouts, and those of the light yellow corn, and of esculent roots of the garden, and the apple trees covered with blossoms, and the fruit afterward, and wood berries, and the commonest weeds by the road, and the old drunkards staggering home from the outhouse of the tavern whence he had lately risen, and the schoolmistress that passed on her way to the school, and the friendly boys that passed, and the quarrelsome boys, and the tidy and fresh-cheeked girls, and the barefoot Negro boy and girl, and the changes of city and country wherever he went. His own parents that he had propelled the father stuff at night and fathered him, and she that conceived him in her womb and birthed him, they gave this child more of themselves than that. They gave him afterward every day. They and of them became part of him. The mother at home quietly placing the dishes at the supper table. The mother with mild words, cleaner cap and gown, a wholesome odor falling off her person and clothes as she walks by. The father, strong, self-sufficient, manly, mean, angered, unjust. The blow, the quick, loud word, the tight bargain, the crafty lure, the family usages, the language, the company, the furniture, the yearning and swelling heart, affection that will not be gainsaid, the sense of what is real, the thought of it after it should prove unreal, the doubts of daytime and the doubts of nighttime, the curious whether and how, whether that which appears so, or is all. Or is it all flashes and specks, men and women crowding fast in the streets? If they are not flashes and specks, what are they? The streets themselves and the facades of houses, the goods in the windows, vehicles, teams, and tiered wharves, and the huge crossing at the ferries, the village of the highland seen from afar at sunset, the river between shadows, aureola and mist, light falling on roofs and gables of white or brown, 3 miles off. The schooner nearby sleepily dropping down the tide, the little boat black-toed astern, the hurrying, tumbling waves and quick broken crests and slapping the strata of colored clouds, the long bar of maroon tint away solitary by itself, the spread of purity it lies motionless in, the horizon's edge, the flying sea crow, the fragrance of salt marsh and shore mud. These became part of the child who went forth every day, and who now goes and will always go forth every day. And these become of him or her that peruses them now.